WTBR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The federal government shut down just after midnight after a Republican-backed spending plan failed to pass the Senate. President Trump says that's not necessarily a bad thing.
A lot of good can come down from shutdowns. We can get rid of a lot of things that we didn't want, and they'd be Democrat things.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries is warning the president against mass layoffs.
He will be held back by the courts if he takes this aggressive action, which violates the law.
According to one estimate, up to 750,000 federal workers could be furloughed without pay each day. Molly Menier is among them.
I am the primary breadwinner of my household, so we will be tightening belts. We will be eating down the last bits of the freezer.
Essential workers like military troops and air traffic controllers will have to report to duty, also without pay. CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Two homes for veterans facing homelessness are now closed. Savannah Tomei Olson has the latest on a proposal to reopen them.
The Veterans Housing and Recovery Program gave vets a place to stay and access to services to help them get back on their feet. Earlier this year, Governor Tony Evers' budget proposal included $1.9 million to keep the program afloat, but Republicans removed it from the budget, and it was not in the eventual deal that GOP lawmakers struck with the governor. There are three homes in this program. Two of them have closed, the ones in Chippewa Falls and Green Bay. That means the only one left is in Union Grove. State Senator Jamie Wall from Green Bay.
Closure of these facilities means that there are going to be 41 fewer beds for homeless veterans in northern Wisconsin as we approach this winter. This didn't have to happen, and it's a shame that it did.
State Senator Republican Andre Jacques authored a bill that would bring back the funding. There was a public hearing on it a couple weeks ago. Rock Larson is a Wood County Veteran Service Officer.
In the recent past, I have veterans who could benefit from this program and homeless veterans from central Wisconsin state that they have no desire to relocate to southeastern Wisconsin. These program sites offer veterans residential programs to build the skills necessary for them to reenter the local communities and be sustainable. Without the case management and roof over these heads that this program offers these veterans, they are doomed to poverty and chronic homelessness.
The Journal Sentinel reports 10 veterans were moved to the last remaining site in Union Grove. 11 had to be moved to programs not specifically meant for veterans or even to Minnesota and Michigan. There are about 350 homeless veterans in Wisconsin. For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
And I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR WIRI News.
The Brewers warming up. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The Brewers worked out at AmFam Field as they wait to find out who they'll play Saturday. The Cubs beat the Padres 3-1 in game one of their best-of-three-game wildcard series. Brewers catcher William Contreras had another MRI on his left hand that's bothered him all season, manager Pat Murphy.
You're not going to be able to keep William out no matter what the analysis is of that injury. He's going to play.
NFL, Matt LaFleur on what went wrong in the final minute in overtime that led to the Packers settling for a tie with the Cowboys.
When we're not in two-minute mode and then you jump into two-minute mode, everybody on the field has to know that. And we were operating more of our, you know, no huddle tempo, which isn't warp speed. It's a bad look, quite honestly. And it's just the communication and process have got to be cleaned up because we can't allow that ever to happen again.
That's Matt LaFleur with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Farm news that impacts you and your community from the Midwest Farm Report throughout your day on 97.5 WFHR.
Is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop back into the 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a little breezier, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
This is Beth, host of The Kitchen's Open. Have you ever found yourself asking,
what's a recipe for cookies my kids will love?
How do I avoid giving my guests food poisoning?
How would a restaurant chef prepare this meal?
If so, then tune into The Kitchen's Open, the show within the morning show each Monday morning at the start of the 10 o'clock hour. I'll tackle topics, teach techniques, or tell you what to do or not to do when it comes to cooking or the kitchen. I'll also bring you interviews with local chefs and restaurant owners. The Kitchen's Open, brought to you by the Hotel Mead. We'll tell you something good.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. The Badgers are in the big house to battle Michigan. Our coverage begins at 9 a.m.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Maggie Dawn.
Ever hear conservatives explain away Charlie Kirk's racism by saying, oh, he was taken out of context? I debunk that baloney in full at 5:30. Do not miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, thank you, Don Rue. Hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on a Wednesday morning, and are you prepared to hear this? Wednesday morning, October 1st, 2025. We have flipped the calendar. We are in the fourth quarter of the year. Christmas carols are not that far off. Well, temperatures in the upper 80s are actually closer than that, thanks to a really unusually warm week that we're having here. So listen for forecast details throughout the day here on the Civic Media Radio Network. But yeah, we made it to October, and I appreciate you being here from wherever you're spending your mornings up north listening to us, whether it's on the radio or through social media. Through podcast, it's great to have you starting your day right here. I do have another question for you. Are you ready for a new member of Congress from Wisconsin, specifically from up north? I know we've spent a lot of time talking about some of the other congressional districts in Wisconsin that may be at play in 2026, but there's going to be an open seat up north in the very large 7th congressional district where the incumbent Republican Tom Tiffany has decided to run for governor. So that's going to open things up. A lot of people have been talking about running for Congress up in northern Wisconsin in the 7th District, and we are going to break a little news about that at 8:35 this morning. So you're going to want to stick around till then, or you're going to want to come on back. Better yet, you can also have this with you all the time as a podcast. Head over to Spotify and sign up and follow us. And again, we'll be breaking a little news about the 7th Congressional District 2026 election coming up in our final half hour together on this Wednesday morning. Also coming up along the way, we are going to be talking about, of course, the federal government shutting down, which is exactly what Donald Trump and others who really don't like the government are doing. What do I always say? People who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. And we are full of people right now who do not like our government, who do not like the services that it provides and are slashing and burning their way to tax cuts for the super wealthy at the expense of all kinds of health care, nutrition, farm education, and other programs. And the thing is, they're still making up stuff about it, somehow making it sound like it's not their fault, even though they're the ones who control the House, they control the Senate, they control the White House, and yet somehow they can't pass a federal budget. And that's why we're shut down. It's pretty much by design. And by the way, this is not just at the federal government level. There are state government programs that have gone away. And again, Republicans are trying to blame anybody but themselves for it. For example, we recently had the closure of two facilities in the state, including one here in Chippewa Falls, that take care of homeless veterans and provide them with resources to get back on their feet and to get a permanent roof over their heads. And Republicans in the legislature zeroed that out of the budget, and yet somehow want to claim that it's not their fault that these programs came to an end. And by the way, Congressman Derek Van Orden could have done something about it at the federal level, and he chose not to. So we'll tell you all about that coming up this morning. We will also get to meet an hour from now Ellie Bordeaux. Ellie is the newest member of the team here at Up North News. She puts together our weekday morning newsletter. She's from Oconomowoc originally and is going to tell us all about her story and what it is she wants to do to make sure that the Up North News daily newsletter is appointment reading for all of you when you find it in your mailbox. And we'll talk to Melissa Baldoff in our climate check segment during our 8 o'clock hour about the Trump administration announcing this week they are going all in, a massive investment of your tax dollars in coal, in bringing coal back to prominence. I don't know how many of you have houses old enough to have a coal chute or you have to shovel coal into your furnace, but you might need to consider building one because that's the direction this administration wants to go in. So we'll talk to Melissa about that along the way. Also along the way, we'll have your comments and questions if you care to share them. Many ways to do it. You can head into the comment sections of Facebook and YouTube for Up North News or for Civic Media. Better yet, get that Civic Media app and use the text feature and send us a note that way. Or use the voice note feature and record a little note for us, and we may play it back as well. And producer Parker Olson down in Madison Studio A2 tells us that the phones are once again functional in Studio A2. Morning, Mr. Olson. Can you confirm?
I can confirm. Just give me a second to remember to do the thing that makes it positive that they work every morning.
Okay. Apparently, he's got to talk sweetly to it or something to make sure that it works properly.
Essentially, yes. We've discovered that for whatever reason, they're a little temperamental.
And we still believe this is the 855-75 Civic phone number?
We do believe so. Yes.
We do believe so. Okay. We do believe. I haven't used that number for so long. Let's see if I can do it from muscle memory here. 855-75 Civic, 855-752-4842. Oh, hey, he did it. You'd like to give that a go, and Parker picks up and you tell him what you want to call about, there's a chance that he puts you on hold. He lets me know all about it, and then we get to talking about maybe the shutdown, who you think is to blame, or how we get out of this. Do Democrats end up caving in the end and giving up on trying to reinstate some of the health care cuts that Republicans made earlier this year? Or do Republicans feel the pressure and restore some of those health care cuts that they made earlier this year? Or you might want to go in a different direction altogether and, say, talk baseball, where there were 4 baseball games yesterday in the wild card round. Did you see any of them, Mr. Olson?
I had them all on at some point. I did not watch any of them very intently.
Yeah, that's my way. Yeah, it was wallpaper for me. It was in the background when I could watch the TV, and I'll tell that story in a second here. But for folks who didn't see, the Cubs defeated the Padres 3-1. The Detroit Tigers defeated Cleveland 2-1. The Red Sox defeated the Yankees 3-1. And then late last night, the Dodgers stomped all over the Cincinnati Reds 10-5. So in all cases, now again, these are 3-game series all in the same ballpark, and they're best 2 out of 3. So later today, the Cubs, the Tigers, the Red Sox, and the Dodgers could advance to the National League Division Series. Or the Padres, the Guardians, the Yankees, the Reds could all tie it and force a deciding third game on Thursday. We're all watching the Cubs and Padres because it's the winner of that series that comes to American Family Field come Saturday to kick off the National League Division Series. And I, for one, Parker, I'm very happy to have a couple of days off here for the Brewers to get healthy and ready to go.
Yeah, I think so. I think they could use a little bit of health gathering, call it that.
Mm-hmm. A little recuperation.
Recouping, yeah. I would like a little more energy would be nice with the bats particularly.
Yes. Tony on YouTube, how dare you suggest Cleveland loses today? I did not suggest. It's possible. It could happen, Tony. It's baseball. That's what did they say? That's why you play the game. is to find out who's going to advance on this. But
sports
anyway,
are much more fun on the field than they are on paper.
Yeah. So I mentioned that sometimes I could watch TV yesterday. Sometimes I could not because somebody from Spectrum came in and I almost made him faint when I showed him our setup down behind the, you know, the ceiling and the basement and everything. At one point, he's going through so many cords and he pulls this mess of coax out that I'm showing Parker now. It's all attached to some kind of an amplifier device. And he's like,
How long is that?
You don't need this anymore. And he just hands it to me and says, here, can you throw this away? I'm like, okay, it's a splitter. It's a power source. It's a big old-fashioned coax cable.
Yeah.
And then he took something else out of there. You have to keep in mind, we've been in that house for 30 years, and we've had the cable has been run to different outlets in different rooms over the years.
Oh, sure.
As we've changed things around, but nothing's ever been taken out. It's only been added. So, I mean, we look like an old fashioned, you know, telephone switchboard down there in the basement. And that poor fella had to figure out why occasionally we were having internet hiccups.
Because he got too much crap that it's got to go through.
It's a little counterproductive to try to do a radio show if your internets aren't working all the time. And yet there were no Spectrum outages in the area. So we finally had to have a tech come out, and he looked up around down there. He's like, I think I can find the problem. And he did. He found that in one case, again, the old style coax cables, you know, they're kind of rigid. They're a little flexible, but they're not supposed to bend at 90 degrees.
No.
And one of them was real close to that because so many other cables and things had been bunched up in there, putting pressure on it. And so he switched that out and he removed this amplifier thing that he said we didn't need anymore because, again, we date back to analog signals and not digital signals. Oh. I know I sound like, again, like I'm burning coal in the furnace down in the basement here, but it wasn't that terribly long ago that we had the latest technology. It was analog technology, but it was the latest analog technology.
It was high tech at the time.
Yes, it was high techy tech. So, you know, we did a little cleaning up down there, shall we say. Now there's more cleanup to do because that involved removing a lot of the ceiling tiles. The fake ceiling, so you're not, so everything's kind of in the rafters down there in the basement, but we'll get it all put back. And it still looks clean enough up above the ceiling tiles and below, of course, the main floor. And I say that because we had the worst experience once with the false ceiling in the basement.
It led to
a moment of horror for any homeowner.
A raccoon fell through.
Close. We were noticing that every so often we'd see, and this is a few years back now, we'd see a wasp and we'd kill it, and then we'd see another wasp and we'd kill that, and pretty soon we're noticing, like, we have a lot of wasps here. Yeah. You know,
those don't like it in houses.
Yeah. And then I went downstairs and I noticed, oh, there's quite a few in that room. It's a guest bedroom now. It used to be a kid's playroom.
That's a terrible place for a guest bedroom if it's got a lot of wasps.
Yeah. Dude, guests are not going to want to come there. I thought, well, how is this happening? So I start to move one of the ceiling tiles with a broomstick because I don't want to get too close.
All of a sudden.
And I see something so horrific. It made me want to both scream and vomit at the same time. You know that space between the rafters, between the floor joists, whatever they're called there? You got about, what, 16 inches between them?
Yeah.
Was a wasp nest about 6 feet long.
Oh, my God.
By that 16 inches or whatever. What had happened was there used to be a dryer vent. Again, as we're moving things around, we had moved the dryer vent at one point.
Sure.
Thought we had sealed the hole well enough. Had not.
Oh.
And over a period of months and months, wasps had built a wasp nest that was, 5 to 6 feet long above the false ceiling in our basement. We had to call in professionals who were like, you're going to need to leave the house for a little while here and bug bomb that place and clean it all up. And we haven't had a problem since. But you know what a wasp nest, I mean, it's not a nice little bee's nest, but oh, look at the little honeycomb.
Yeah, no,
you know,
a wasp
nest looks kind of like an alien.
It's a fortress.
You know, that alien skin or something.
Yeah.
It is horrific. And you see this thing, and as you see it, it's getting longer and larger and larger. And it was like a horror movie. And I go upstairs. I'm like, we are going to have to leave for a little while.
We're not coming back.
So no wasps this time. And the cable that may finally be in the 21st century. Here's hoping. Till the next, you know, big new technology that I'm going to be horribly out of date dealing with. We will talk about a different kind of dysfunction. That would be the shutdown of the federal government. That's coming up in just a moment. First, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Crockett Septic provides professional septic system pumping, inspections, and portable sanitation rentals. Trust the experts and keep your system running smoothly. Call Crockett Septic today, 715-712-3456, or visit CrockettSeptic.com.
We want to thank our listeners for following the Rapid Support over to the podcast world. Your growing support for the show and your favorite guests, area nonprofits, is greatly appreciated.
We love getting the word out about the great things nonprofits do for the community. Special thanks to Crockett Septic for sponsoring this show as they continue to help us bring you great conversations.
Listen to the Rapid Support at WFHR.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
My name's John Driscoll, proud member of the Patriotic Millionaires. When I was CEO at CareCentrics, I doubled entry-level wages. The impact? Productivity went up, turnover went down, and the company was successful. When employees are off the clock, they're real consumers, the consumers that drive the economy with their spending. By paying employees a fair wage, we're actually helping out all of us in giving our economy the best chance to succeed. I'm John Driscoll. I'm a Patriotic Millionaire, and I approve this message.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Once again, coming up after 7 o'clock, we'll meet Ellie Bordeaux, our new newsletter editor here at Up North News. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. We love this partnership weekday mornings from 6 to 9, and we want to make sure that our friends at Civic Media know how much we appreciate that, including making sure you know that we want you signing up for their newsletter as well as ours, Civic Media Today. Head over to civicmediatoday.substack.com. for all kinds of little news notes, links to show highlights, and much more. Of course, we've got not just the weekday newsletter that Ellie puts together, but I've got one on Sunday mornings that has a focus on politics rather than just Wisconsin features that you can sign up for at upnorthnewswi.com. It includes our question of the week, which you've heard me mention before, is, you know, who's going to cave? How is this government shutdown going to end? You know, for example, the last time there was a government shutdown, it ran for 35 days. There was a lot of inconvenience. It cost the economy a lot. It was extremely expensive, extremely unnecessary, and Donald Trump forced that one as well. It was back in 2019, and he got nothing by the time it was all said and done. He made some kind of symbolic claim of victory, but he shut things down because he was demanding more money for building a wall at the border. He brought so much disruption to people's lives for his little pet project, rather than, you know, embracing comprehensive immigration reform, which would have improved border security and helped make sure that people can be processed, come to this country and work and feel safe and secure and not feel like masked secret police are going to beat them and round them up. which is hardly what you want for America 2025. So how does this one end? Because, again, the Republicans took away more than $1 trillion in Medicaid. They're going to jack up everybody's health insurance premiums later this year. Even if you don't get your insurance off the Affordable Care Act marketplace, chances are you're going to see a premium hike as well to help offset the increased health care costs of what Republicans did. So Democrats are saying, look, if you want to pass a federal budget and you can't agree amongst yourselves and you need our vote, here's our price. Put some of these health care cuts back. And of course, Trump and Republicans saying no, they would like to keep those cuts, and they are happy shutting down the government and inflicting pain. They were willing to do it in 2019. They're willing to do it now. So we're in a case of who blinks first, which is completely unnecessary, foolish, and juvenile. But again, as I say, the people who hate government the most should be trusted the least to run it competently. And we're getting that proved once again. It is not the, well, let me say another thing about that. There were a couple of votes yesterday in the Senate about trying to, you know, avoid a government shutdown. And there was a proposal by Democrats that said, look, we will go along with reopening the government if you extend the Affordable Care Act subsidies that are set to expire at the end of this year. And of course, the Republicans voted along party lines. No. So they are on record saying they want health insurance to cost more next year. There's also things like the National Park Service says they're going to keep the parks largely open, even though there are a lot of concerns about damage and overflowing garbage cans and toilets and things like that that happened during the last government shutdown. Trump also says he'd love to see more federal job cuts, not just furloughs, but actually firing people. And he said, when asked about that, he said, well, they're going to be Democrats anyway. I mean, what a point of view to have on your fellow Americans is to say, well, if you're working for the federal government to help and serve other people, you must be a Democrat. Not that that's an insult, but again, talk about a broad sweeping generalization and somebody who could not care less if government functions properly or not. But by the way, not the only instance where you have Republicans trying to blame Democrats for damage that they're causing. Earlier this month came the end of some facilities for homeless veterans, one of them here in Chippewa Falls. And as a result, that one and the other in Green Bay, they closed officially on September 12th. They, you know, from the budget money ran out for it yesterday. And there's a story behind this. Governor Evers did allocate $1.9 million in his budget request to keep the program running. Republicans didn't want to put $1.9 million into it. So you know how every time they take Governor Evers' budget and they just trash it, they zero out everything and then they write their own budget? Well, they never wrote anything in for that line. They never replaced the $1.9 million with maybe, say, a smaller amount. Give a listen to State Senator Dianne Hesselbein, the Senate Democratic leader, as she explains not only that Republicans in the legislature refused two other attempts to put it in, but that Congressman Derek Van Orden could have maybe requested federal funds for this as well.
There also was a lane for Congressman Van Orden to get this done on the federal level. He could have requested the funds needed to keep the facility in Chippewa Falls open, but he didn't, which is surprising given his made-up involvement with our state budget to begin with. He could actually have done something and proven to be a winner, but he didn't. He did nothing. We are here fighting for our veterans. We were ready to vote on this in joint finance. We were ready to vote on the amendment that came to the floor, and we are still standing strong on these standalone bills. We can get this done. We are willing to work together. Not only that, we want to work together. But unfortunately, it's the Republicans' decision to vote these efforts down, to close these facilities, and to turn their backs on Wisconsin veterans. That has been their choice and their solution.
And it was seconded by Republican State Senator Eric Wimberger of the Green Bay area, who, again, loves to put out the press releases attacking Governor Evers, saying, well, he could have just moved the money from some other pot into that. It's not that easy, and he knows that. He knows the legislature would have to approve any kind of fund transfer like that. So rather than that, why not own up to your mistake and vote, have a clean vote on putting the money back into homeless veterans rather than playing politics with it. It just makes no sense. But then again, I've watched, and for some people, it seems to make perfect sense to them. Today's history lesson starts with a little Johnny Carson. After this, you're up north.
This is Locally Grown Radio, WFHR.
You're listening to Locally Grown Radio, WFHR, Rapids Home for Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays from 6 to 9 a.m.
Green Career Week is just around the corner, and organizers hope it plants the seeds for a new generation of horticulture professionals. I'm Stephanie Hoff, along with you from the Midwest Farm Report, and we'll talk about this nationwide event after this.
Unique farming operations need unique financial solutions. Ag Country Farm Credit Services offers customized financing that fits any size farm, ranch, or agribusiness. The next time you're in the market for more land, equipment, facilities, or maybe even an operating loan, contact the team at Ag Country. They know agriculture and will work for you. Ag Country. Focused on ag, focused on you. Ag Country is an equal opportunity lender.
Jasmine Alboron is the executive director of Seed Your Future, the group behind the nationwide Green Career Week, running October 6th through the 10th. The goal? To spark student interest in the multi-billion dollar world of horticulture. She tells us how you can get involved.
We are encouraging teachers, parents, educators, anyone that works with students to get them connected to a local horticulture business. So independent garden center, a florist, a breeder, a nursery, greenhouse, you name it. There are businesses right in the middle of urban settings, rural settings. They're everywhere. We just don't know, right? So Seed Your Future, if you reach out to us, we can help you get connected to a business that's in your area. You can set up field trips, go to these businesses and get to know them as employers. What are the different roles that they have and offer for students, for college students?
She says horticulture is a field that stretches from turf management to landscape design, even graphic design. Jasmine Alboron, along with us, who says Green Career Week is a chance for students of all backgrounds to connect with a career path that they may not have considered. More agribusiness news coming your way next.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
The road to Madison has meant bringing home first place honors for a few individuals. Wisconsin has been competitive this week, taking home second place in the 103rd National 4-H Dairy Cattle Judging Contest. UW-Madison finished in the top five in the 104th National Intercollegiate Dairy Cattle Judging Contest at World Dairy Expo. Congratulations again to the Wisconsin 4-H Dairy Judging Team and the UW-Madison Dairy Cattle Judging Team. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
97.5 WFHR, locally grown radio, and home to mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
It is going to be partly cloudy today with a high in the mid-70s this afternoon. Tonight, partly cloudy. We're going to drop back into the 50s for an overnight low. Tomorrow, a little breezier, partly cloudy to mostly sunny with a high in the upper 70s to near 80. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable.
Smokey the Bear.
Smoke. Then you know why Smokey tells you when he sees you passing through. Remember, please be careful, it's the least that you can do.
What you desire, don't play with matches, don't play with fire.
After 80 years of learning his wildfire prevention tips, Smokey Bear lives within us all. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com. And remember,
only you can prevent wildfires.
Brought to you by the USDA Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
Using meth taught me everything about freedom, only not like you think. It taught me how easy it is to lose your freedom. If you think meth is taking control of you, ask for help. You have the power to be truly free. I know. I'm Jan, and I'm free from meth.
If you or someone you know is struggling with meth, call 1-800-662-HELP for 24-hour free and confidential treatment referral. Learn more at samhsa.gov/meth.
Jane Mattinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, should the government bail out our farmers because of the tariff policies instituted by our government? We talk to Darren Von Rudin in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Mattinair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
From beautiful downtown Burbank, it's the Tonight Show starring Johnny Carson. Johnny Carson took over as host of NBC's Tonight Show on this day in 1962. And that the theme there, which became ubiquitous with 10:30, 10:35 weeknights, was originally written by Paul Anka for Johnny Carson. Let's see, we've got another TV note here, and I wish we had our friend Dan Hagen from Channel 12 and Rhinelander, because it's their anniversary today.
Really? Wow.
Happy anniversary to WJFW, Newswatch 12. Signed on this day in 1966 with the call letters WAEO.
Wow.
I don't know if that was supposed to stand for something, but they're now WJFW.
Well, does JFW stand for something?
I don't know.
And see, this is one of life's many questions in media, is what do our letters mean?
Yes. And so now we've got to ring up Dan Hagen or talk to him next week about this. Maybe pop quiz, see if he even knows. Maybe he doesn't. I don't know.
Bet he doesn't. I don't know. I don't have a clue what WMDX.
Madison. That's like an airport abbreviation type thing.
Oh, is the
something like that.
I assumed it was Madison. Something.
Let's see. Walt Disney World opened this day in 1971, so 54 years ago today. And then in 1982, Epcot opened at Disney. Epcot standing for the Experimental Prototype Community of Tomorrow. What is your Disney World Epcot history?
Some could say it is nada.
Some could say, so no, you've never been.
Never been, no.
Never been. Okay. All right.
Have you been?
So no Disney World, no It's a Small World, no Cinderella's Castle,
no
Epcot. No. Okay.
Did you get the kids down there or anything?
We took our girls there in the early 90s when they were 4 and 6 years old, and it was as magical as you would expect. And then a couple of years back, my younger daughter took their kids when they were like 3 and 6 or 2 and 5, something like that. So the younger one won't have many memories of it, but they had a lot of fun while they were there.
Sure.
You know. And it's funny when you spend that kind of money and you take the kids to Disney World, and the things that they like, you know, are the things that didn't really cost anything. You know, like
that's
convenient. one of the hotels had like a little sandy beach area, and the sandy beach was the thing that they really liked. You know, it's like you remember Mickey Mouse was there too, right? Okay. Anyway, Tony says that Epcot was the least interesting of the different kingdoms. The Animal Kingdom was amazing. Yeah, there's all these. And then, of course, now you've got the non-Disney option of Universal Studios in all of their parks. Yeah. And so there is so much to see there. And again, it all started with Disney World opening this day in 1971. The Beach Boys released their first album, Surf and Safari, on this day in 1962.
Surfing is the only life, the only way for me now. Surf, surf.
they got a little better.
I was going to say, this doesn't...
This was their initial entry into the music world with Surfin'. Look at this from my good friend Melissa Schrader. Says, Pat, WAEO stands for former Congressman Alvin E. Okonski.
Oh!
That makes perfect sense now.
There we go.
Thank you, Melissa. That's awesome. Let's see. The Bradley Center in Milwaukee opened on this day in 1988. And would operate as the Bradley Center till 2018. On this day in 1908, Ford offered the Model T automobile for a price of $825. So back in 1908, $825 would get you a brand new Model T right off the assembly line. It's poor Parker. Money means nothing to him now. These numbers are so different.
Yeah. Wow.
Happy birthday to actress Julie Andrews. She is 90 years old today.
High on a hill was a lonely goat herd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay, hoo-hoo. Loud was the voice of the lonely goat herd, lay, hoodlay, hoodlay.
I guess I could have had her do the title theme from The Sound of Music, but, you know, a lot of folks know her from that, and gosh, so many other movies along the way as well. Let's see, Zach Galifianakis is 56 years old today. Actress Brie Larson is 36. The late Donny Hathaway, the singer, was born this day in 1945, passed away in 1979. You of a certain age, you know, my age, will be familiar with Peaches and Herb. Here was their big hit, Reunited. There we go. This is the birthday for the Herb of Peaches and Herb. Herbert Feimster is 83 years old today.
I was a fool to ever leave your side.
Now, the thing with Peaches and Herb is that Herb's always been there, but there's been more than one peach for Herb.
Well, he's they go bad eventually.
Seven different women have filled the role of Peaches. And since he started the little group in 1966. Right here, we're hearing Linda Green. She is the third of the seven Peaches, and it's with her that they had their big hits, Reunited, and, of course, Shake Your Groove Thing. Shake Your Groove Thing. Yeah, yeah. On this day in 1975, the Thrilla in Manila, Muhammad Ali, defeated Joe Frazier in their third and final boxing match. Frazier failed to win back his heavyweight title, conceding after the 14th round. Now, back then, you didn't get to see major events like that live on TV. You could go to like sports arenas and do pay-per-view, and it would be put up on a massive screen.
Oh,
but then it would be on TV like a week or two later.
Yeah.
And part of the reason I don't get into Ultimate Fighting today or even boxing is having grown up watching Muhammad Ali. It's like, I mean, there's just nobody's going to be better. Nobody. And it was just to watch him as a boxer was to watch, you know, the poetry of that sport. And I know there's a lot about boxing being violent and everything else. But if you're going to watch it, you watch those fights. On this day in 1982, Donald Fagen of Steely Dan released his solo album, The Night Fly. On this day in 1903, the first game of the modern World Series as the Boston Americans would play the Pittsburgh Pirates. The number one song this day in 1983 was by Bonnie Tyler.
Turn around.
Every now and then I get a little bit lonely and you never come.
Now that made Bonnie Tyler the first singer from Wales to top the charts. It was one of so many epic songs that were written by the late Jimmy Steinman. And I believe we'll talk more about Jimmy Steinman in a week or two in the history lesson, because he had all the Bat Out of Hell and Paradise by the Dashboard Light, all these other epic songs, and Total Eclipse of the Heart was one of them. All right, kind of a melancholy anniversary note to share. It was on this day 8 years ago that a gunman opened fire in Las Vegas during Jason Aldean's set at the Route 91 Harvest Festival from his suite across the way at the Mandalay Bay Hotel. He would shoot nearly 500 people, wounding 413 people, killing 60 in the deadliest mass shooting in U.S. history. Again, he shot about 500 people after firing more than 1,000 rounds. And it was in large part because of something called bump stocks. And for a time in the wake of that shooting, there was a ban on bump stocks, but the conservative justices on the U.S. Supreme Court last year struck it down, as we have certain politicians, including those in judges' robes, who continue to choose mass murderers over public safety. All right, there's everything that's on the anniversary calendar. Let's look at things on the national day calendar for today. I don't have Bonnie Tyler here in my CD collection, but this is National CD Player Day.
It is.
And so during the last break when I saw that, Parker, I went over, I've got a cabinet that we never open, and that's where all the CDs are. And so I just grabbed a fistful. This is a representative sample of the CDs that haven't been played in years. So
is
we've got
still on any of them?
ZZ Top, Greatest Hits.
ZZ Top,
got
nice.
That with your the classic, you know, model on the back who's posing for no reason whatsoever.
Of course.
Here's The Police and Synchronicity, one of my favorite albums of the late 1980s. Here's Prince's Greatest Hits Volume 1 is on there. Oh, here's a great one.
Oh, boy.
Bonnie Raitt, Nick of Time. Absolutely. If this is not in your record collection, get Bonnie Raitt's Nick of Time from 1992, I believe. And here's a Lionel Richie Greatest Hits one called Back to Front on there. There's so many. If I started rattling all these off, all the things in the CD collection, my doorbell would ring at some point, and I would be escorted to the old folks' home and say, "Okay, Grandpa, that's great. Take your CDs with you.
Reel it in."
Yep. Exactly. So this is National CD Player Day. This is National Walk Your Dog Week. I don't have a dog to walk. I do have a neighbor's dog that I walk occasionally. Has a lot of spirit, and I'm afraid it's going to pull our elderly neighbor down. So I tried to go wear out some of the energy on that little furball. Today is Pumpkin Seed Day. You like pumpkin seeds roasted?
I don't know if I've ever had pumpkin seeds, to be honest with you. I've never been a big pumpkin guy.
Okay. I do like them roasted. I just haven't had them for quite a while, so I might have to change that. And this is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and again, we say it all the time, we can't say it enough, to get all of your screenings done, whether it's for breast cancer or, let's just say, all the things that could take you out, is go do that. I had my follow-up with the sleep specialist yesterday.
Oh, yeah.
About the CPAP machine.
Seeing a lot of improvement, huh?
Yeah, yes, very much so. You know, your CPAP machine, like everything else in the world, talks to the internet. And so that's what it does. It sends data back to wherever, and she looked it all up and it's like, oh, you're doing really good. You're breathing and everything else, and that's fine. But again, it troubles me a bit that my CPAP machine is connected to the internet. And, you know, these internet devices are all the time listening to you. So what are the odds that my CPAP machine hears me talking in my sleep? And next thing I know, there's an Amazon package the next day for something I didn't even know I needed, but it came up in my dreams.
I think it's listening to your dreams, Pat. That's what I'm worried
about. That's what I'm
saying.
And if it listens to my dreams, what's it going to order?
Yeah.
I don't know.
What are you dreaming about?
Well, that's just it. I'm one of those who I don't know.
You don't know.
You wake up and for a split second, you're sure you remember everything. And then it's like, it just all goes, and there's nothing.
It's rare.
Not bring it back.
It's rare I even get that. I barely ever remember anything at all about my dreams.
I know, and other people, it's like, you know, color TV. You know, they just, everything. They can remember every little detail. And what ends up happening to me now and then is, again, Sherry will be talking about something, and I'll just blurt out, oh my gosh, I had a dream about that. And I'll tell her about some stupid dream. And she'll look at me for interrupting her like, I am going to drive you to the old folks' home right now and just be done with you. But I just wanted to share the dream because it's so rare that it finally comes in.
I mean, yeah, that's fair.
I'm so easily entertained here. Still ahead. Parker's going to give us some of his entertainment news stories for the day. That'll be coming up. And then in our 7 o'clock hour, we will be talking with Ellie Bordeaux. She is the new newsletter editor for Up North News. She's from Oconomowoc, and she joined us just a few weeks ago, and we figure she's had enough orientation at this time, so it's time for the hazing to begin, which includes having to make an appearance on this radio show. And I have a feeling she'll pass the audition, and you'll see her or hear her on most Wednesdays, so that'll be along the way here. Of course, in our 8 o'clock hour, Earl Ingram will tell us what's going on as part of the What's Going On podcast that he does through Civic Media. Melissa Baldoff will talk about the Trump administration announcement on Monday that they're going all in on greatly expanding America's use of coal. Okay. And then big announcement at 8:30 about the 7th Congressional District and somebody who may be running for Congress from here up north. No, Tony, it's not me. Live from the lake, I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
At Hazelden Betty Ford, treating mental health isn't just about breaking old patterns. It's about braving new ones. As the leader in alcohol and drug treatment for 75 years, we know caring for addiction, anxiety, depression, and trauma goes hand in hand. We're here for you with new tools when life breaks down. Discover your path to better mental health at HazeldenBettyFord.org/Wisconsin. Sponsored by Hazelden Betty Ford Foundation.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon.
Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world.
We're born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road.
Drive drunk.
Drive sober or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Tom Tiffany, the Republican congressman representing Wisconsin's 7th Congressional District, has finally made it official. He's running for governor. The election for governor in 2026 is the state's first open race for the office since 2010, and it's sure to invite many candidates to run. And on the Republican side, Tiffany's is the most significant announcement yet. There's a very good chance that he is going to be the Republican nominee for governor at this time next year. If that proves to be the case, it would signify a major shift in the center of power for Republican politics in Wisconsin. For so long, it's been the Wow counties, Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington, three of the counties that surround Milwaukee, that have been the Republican stronghold in the state. But if Tiffany is the one on the top of the ticket, it will be the most clear indicator yet of how the party has shifted from more of a suburban one to one where GOP voters are more centered in exurban or rural areas.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
Get ready to go for the green and gold on this local Civic Media radio station. Listen each weekday for the keywords to text for your chance to win our daily prize, $200 cash and gold jewelry. And be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club level seats to see the green and gold take on Minnesota in Green Bay. Just download our free Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5, and 7 for your chance to win in our multi-state contest. For complete rules, go to civicmedia.us.
Hi everyone, Seth here from Seth Faces the Music. You know, being the host of the award-winning second greatest radio show in the state of Wisconsin can be a lot of work. I have to come up with new themes all the time. So in the interest of clarity, here are some topics I will not be using in upcoming episodes.
Mittens, tinfoil, gastric bypass surgery, window treatments, 17th century Japanese art, outhouses, bowler hats, spam, clog dancing.
Seth Faces the Music, every Sunday from 6 to 8 p.m. only on WFHR.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, and now for something local from WFHR and WIRI Studios.
Hello, world. Welcome to WFHR's Rapids Report, proudly brought to you by Crockett Septic for this September 22nd, 2025. I have your host, James, behind the mic. And we are joined by our friends from the Arts Council right now. We have our good friend, Sally Kistner, with us, executive director over at the Arts Council. Sally, good to see you.
Good to see you.
Thanks a lot for being here with us. And we want to send a big thank you to our good friend, Michael Moore, who is calling in on the phone lines right now. Michael is a part of Willie and Family Live, a tribute to Willie Nelson, a show that is coming right here to town on October 9th, 7:30, right at the Performing Arts Center. Michael, how you doing?
Good morning, everybody in Wisconsin.
Appreciate the time, Michael. I have to tell you right out the gate, getting to watch a lot of your previews and watching some of the stuff that I've seen of yours online and everything, you yourself are an amazing musician. You yourself are quite an artist. I want to get into why you went to Willie Nelson and some of those things in a moment, but I want to rewind first and get to know you a little bit. Michael, can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, raised in the Dallas, Texas area. I'm naturally a Texas boy, now living in Tennessee over here in the Smoky Mountains, but grew up down there in Willie Nelson country, and it's just a natural down there. You hear him all the time on the radio, and it's kind of inbred into us, I guess, for lack of a better term. But yeah, I can remember being a kid living with my grandmother and hearing his vocals coming out of her old AM radio, playing out of Dallas there. So yeah.
Right on.
That's where I'm from, yeah, kind of just in your blood down there, I guess.
Yeah. Michael, when you were young and first getting into music, did you have a first instrument you picked up?
Actually, yeah. I grew up naturally playing drums. I've been a drummer and still am. I still play a little bit with some other groups and things I do on the side. Naturally just grew up playing drums. I was always a big Elvis Presley fan, and his drummer at the time was Ronnie Tutt. So inspired heavily by that, and somehow got talked into the Willie Nelson thing. I don't really know how that happened, but a buddy of mine talked me into it, and nobody's talked me out of it yet, so here I am.
When it comes to that first, so this is something interesting that I came across a while ago. When it comes to music, music is a time machine. Those early songs that we listened to that our parents or our grandparents or our brothers or sisters or somebody played, those songs we'll always enjoy. But it's the music we first pick ourselves. When you're first going out there and buying your first album, buying your first CD, whatever it is, that music, you could go 30 years without hearing it. It shows up on the radio, and you are instantly brought back to being a kid again. You're instantly, like, literally in your brain, you're brought back there. It's a time machine. There's something about that. I'm curious, is instruments that way? You mentioned how much you love the drums. You find yourself just continuing to go back to them because of that love?
Well, I do. I still play here at home. I have a big sound studio here at my house, and I still just go in there just for the enjoyment of it. And because it does take me back to being that 7-year-old kid again, every time I sit down on them, it really does take me back to that time. So although it's been a lifetime of doing it now, but yeah, I do it because I still enjoy it, and it's what I started out on. So I think we kind of like the idea of going back where we started from time to time.
Yeah. Michael, before we get into, and you touched on this a little bit, but before we get into Willie and his music library and just him in general, what are some other influences you have? I found this really interesting looking into you and your website.
Oh, musical influences are all over the place, man. In mid-20s, 30s, I was a heavy metal maniac out of Dallas, played drums in some metal bands there. But I'm also a big Carpenters fan. I love Andy Williams, man, Ronnie Millsap, Ray Price, just all over the place. Of course, Van Halen, just everywhere. And anything that's good music, I think is good music, regardless of where it's coming from. So,
well, and you know, I'm reading that, and I had looked at your website and then kind of went through there to see some of your videos and see some of the music you listened to, some of the music you and the band have played and everything. And it just all clicked. It all seemed to make sense. Not only you doing this music because you do it so well, but Willie himself. Willie Nelson, if you've heard him talk about his music influences, you hear Willie talk about the people that he grew up enjoying. You've seen Willie's career, and Willie has duetted with an artist in almost any type of genre. It's something that really fits you covering this artist and you being that kind of guy really makes sense to me, at least, just from looking at it from a third perspective.
Well, that's true. You know, like I said, good music's just good music. And it doesn't really need to be painted into a box, really. So if it feels right, it things right, and the people will let you know right away if they like it or not. So there you go.
When it comes to this, every musician, no matter what kind of they're playing, they're all playing the same notes. There's only six notes. And it makes sense to me, it makes more sense that people would be influenced or would have other influences than just listening to one certain style of music or anything. That, I don't know, that would add up to me. So that makes sense that you do, and I appreciate that. So now, and you touched on this a little bit growing up with it. It sounds like one of the older musicians you've listened to in your lifetime is Willie Nelson. But what makes you all of a sudden put such an effort into this to not only to give people this kind of a tribute, but to kind of give people this kind of experience with the Redheaded Stranger?
Well, it's not a new thing. I've been doing this show probably 35 years. I remember being in high school and coming home from visiting with my uncle all weekend, playing Willie Nelson was about all he did play back then out of his old 8-track player in his pickup truck. So I'd go home singing the songs at the end of the weekend. So that's kind of how I got started doing the voice. And, of course, through my years of being in metal bands and all that, but I'd always had long hair anyway, but grew a beard. And I don't know, man. Like I said, a buddy of mine talked me into doing it one time. He was an Elvis guy, and I was playing drums for him, and nobody's talked me out of doing it yet. But I made up my mind if I was going to do it, I wanted to try to get it as authentic as I could. In other words, I didn't know how to play any guitar then, but I had to sit down and learn how to play some guitar. And I didn't want to just kind of half do it. I wanted to be able to stand out there and be as authentic as I could be.
I respect that a lot. I think that's really cool. I also think it's part of why this experience really stands out compared to other kind of tribute shows or certain things. You really do a great job not only embodying that, but really embodying the vibe, the energy of a Willie Nelson show. In the time you've been doing this and in the homework you've done on it, which I'm an actor, Michael, so I'm loving all this prep and everything that you put into playing Willie and being Willie and all that. So I love all that stuff. Thank you for that. But when it comes to that work that you've done, the homework you've done on Willie, is there anything that surprised you, or is there any song that you may have not known before or didn't even like that much, but now that you've been playing it, you're enjoying?
Oh, Lord, yeah. There's a lifetime of...
You were listening to The Rapids Report, sponsored by Crockett Septic. To hear the full interview, visit WFHR.com, the Civic Media app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Special Report. The first federal government shutdown in almost 7 years began at a minute past midnight. Republicans and Democrats are blaming each other after a GOP-backed funding plan failed to pass in the Senate.
Republicans are plunging America into a shutdown.
Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, Majority Leader John Thune.
You know, the only real victim here is the American people. This is so unnecessary.
As many as 750,000 federal workers could be furloughed each day. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns.
In a shutdown, national parks and museums have to close. Social Security and Veterans Services could be delayed.
TSA agents and federal troops have to report to their jobs anyway, but they won't get paid. Tracy Riley volunteers at a VFW hall in New Orleans.
I believe that we're going to have families thrown into even more harsh poverty levels than the military currently has.
CBS News Special Report. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.